Hey folks, once again, Dr. Brian King here. I'm in Dallas, Texas. Sarah and I, we've been touring all over the country, mostly in the Southeast though, right?
Yes,
like we were in Louisiana for a while, Georgia before that, Tennessee.
Every rural place of Georgia we've never been to at this point.
That's right. We actually went to cities that we've never been to before on this tour, which is a weird thing after you've been touring the United States for 10 years.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here.
And we had a podcast scheduled that we were going to record in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
And so you want to tell the folks about our guest today?
Yes, we're here with Ash Newland. She is, well, I'll let you introduce yourself more a bit, but she did modeling with me the other day. She does comedy and she used to be in the ministry.
Yes, so thank you guys so much for having me here. So excited. I do stand-up comedy. That's what I'm known as. And then, of course, I did ministry before that as well.
Actually, I think I should clarify something. The reason why I mentioned Nashville, we were going to do a podcast with you in Nashville like a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
But we weren't able to do so, right? Mm-hmm. And it just, as a sheer coincidence, you left Nashville and moved to Dallas before we got here.
Yes.
So we're totally able to sync up. Like, this isn't just like, you know, we're a random, you know, thing. This is actually like you moved here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what brought you to Dallas, though? Why'd you want to come here?
So I've been here in Dallas before. I actually went to Bible college here in Dallas, Texas.
Really?
Yes. And I got my degree here doing theology and youth ministries.
Bible college? Did you?
No, I mean, I knew there was such a thing. I just didn't know about that particular one here in Dallas. Yeah, yeah.
I know there's the Southern Methodist University, which I think the word Methodist implies like it's religious. And then there's Texas Christian University. I guess there's a lot of religious stuff. So you went to Bible college.
Yes. I did.
Wow. So, you know, you like the Bible so much, you went to a school devoted to this one book.
Yes, I know. And it's so funny because, like, when I was in high school, I went to a high school in Seattle, and, like, they taught us, like, all religions, you know, the top five religions of the world, and, you know, like, I could have gone to different religions, but with family members being so religious, like, I couldn't really...
So you come from like a really like Christian religious background.
Yes.
Are you from Texas originally?
No, I'm actually from Seattle, Washington.
Okay, and what brought you to Texas? Because they're like super religious here in Texas.
Yes, really, it is. Yeah. Well, it's so funny because like growing up in Seattle, like it's not a religious place. Like most of my friends were like atheist, Wiccan, you know, spiritual. Like, not, like there was like some Christians there, but like not like it is here. But basically my former youth pastor in Washington State went to college here and said that he feels like this would be a good fit for me, especially since like from like a very young age I wanted to do ministry. Like I think I was like 9 years old when I wanted to do that.
Wow, yeah. Really? How do you... A 9 year old who wants to be a minister. That's, you were in a church before.
Well, there was one time where I thought about becoming a nun. I mean, it happens.
Wow.
Girls think about things.
And you
like
really,
that.
That's at nine though? Because at nine, I think I wanted to be a movie star when I was nine. I don't know.
I changed my ideas of careers when I was like young, and then for whatever reason, like that stuck.
And you pursued it, and you to the point where you moved to Texas and went to college to study the Bible.
Yeah, like, and I already, like, knew the Bible. It was just wanting to be more in-depth with it, learning how to do ministry, how to speak in public, like, those types of things, like, I wanted to learn. And I, at first, wanted to be, like, a missionary, but then I switched my focus on youth ministries. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, for me, growing up as a kid, like, I had a brother that had a terminal illness called cystic fibrosis. There was just like a lot of different things going on in my family life where like the church kind of gave me like sanctuary and hope when I was young, but then that started to change.
I see that. So I'm a psychologist, you know, and a lot of people get into psychology because they were helped by a psychologist or somebody, and you know, as young, and they wanted to sort of give back. And it's interesting that you would have that. You would have the experience that you were touched by the ministry, or you were touched by the church, and you decided that you wanted to give something back. And,
yeah, that was
and
my
devote
way.
Your life to it. You mm-hmm. know, and it was it really like I'm gonna devote my life to it? Is it?
That's what I thought was gonna be like the end all be all for me. Like even when I was in college, like I was like, this is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life, and I thought I was gonna be like overseas, doing youth ministry work over there. But then after college, I didn't know where to go, and then a man, and he was over in Thailand, and I always felt like that was one of the places I was supposed to go to, mm-hmm. so I thought this was like God's destiny, I thought I heard God's voice,
yeah.
but it was basically my pants that was calling.
The pants are calling all the way to Thailand.
Yes.
That's expensive charges, man.
Oh, yes.
So you don't have to be, like, celibate or, like, is that the thing? I don't know. It's being a nun, right? You can't have a relationship, right?
Right. Well, depending on the denomination, like, the denomination that I was a part of was kind of more, like, charismatic, evangelical. Mm-hmm. Ministers, they can, you know, get married and such. Okay. You're not supposed to have sex before you're married. But
they allow it.
they don't.
God closes his eyes.
Well, you just, if you don't want to be accountable, you just don't say anything to your higher-ups. If not, then they're like, well, you need counseling.
Really?
Yes.
So if you had sex before marriage, mm-hmm. then you have to tell who your higher-ups all about it. Like, give them all the dirty details. And, mm-hmm. and do you have to get graphic? Do you have to...
No, it's just like,
that
hey,
would be very twisted.
I'm just it saying, would this
be very twisted. I have to share something. I had a dinner one time with a family. It was like a post-church, you know, kind of Sunday meal. Mm-hmm. And there were two priests present from the church, and they were telling us about this really funny old chart they had about when you could have sex. Okay, are you married? Yes or no. Are you in love? Yes or no. Are you this? Yes or no. It was like a yes or no kind of chart.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but don't enjoy it.
So it's basically like, that's pretty much every every woman's, like, okay, you can have sex, but just don't like it. If you're a guy, you can have sex, but just, you know.
Yeah, it was really funny.
That's
yeah.
wild. Did it have anything about sexual orientation in that chart?
I don't know. But it was like, you know, are you being fruitful? Or is it for the purpose of, you know, children? Yeah. Is it, it was like this whole really old thing that they found it
hilarious. What if it's the apocalypse? You're only two people left, and there's nobody there to legally marry you. You know, like, what? Where's that?
I wonder how that would go.
The Blue Lagoon and...
It's like, look, we got to do this for the species. So, you were attracted to the church because of it helping you as you were younger. And what's interesting to me though is that you followed through. Like I said, I wanted to be a movie star when I was 9, and I didn't do anything to get me to that point. It's interesting that you pursued it. You pursued it all the way, and you came to Texas, and you got a degree from this. Is it like a degree?
Yeah, it's a degree.
Okay, it's like a bachelor's or
yeah,
something
it's a bachelor's,
like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and you just read the Bible a lot.
So they went into depth with like the Old
and
Testament.
And forgive me, I don't mean to sound so stupid, but I
am
literally kind of ignorant into what would be in a Bible college, you know? So.
No, not at all. Like, ask any questions that you want because, like, you know, not everyone grew up the way that I grew up. There's so many different types of denominations out there. But yeah, like, they have, you know, classes about like the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then they have like some of them like specifically focus on like maybe like the Book of Esther or like,
so like
just
a deep dive.
Yeah, a deep dive.
Really break it down.
Sometimes it would break down things like that were, you know, the Greek part of the Bible or like the Hebrew part of the Bible. So it was like more in depth of what the Bible was about. And then of course there was like counseling classes. They didn't really tell us like how do you counsel someone that has like mental illnesses. Like there was a lot of lack in that type of
stuff. So it's just really focused on like the specific things that they think are important based on their religion.
Yes.
Did they teach you to refer Like that.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Like, this is outside of my scope of.
I always feel like a lot of people are like, you know, come to me for all the answers, even if I don't have them, I'm just gonna fake it, you know. But that's a good point. Like, you should, mm-hmm. you know, say like, you're gonna have to leave the church for this question. You know, do they do anything like that? Or?
It was more of be led by the Spirit, because like it was like one of those like Pentecostal charismatic churches where they're like speaking in tongues, that type of stuff. Minus the snakes.
Yeah, so I guess I should have clarified too, because we're kind of confusing church and college. But the college was for a specific religion, or was it?
It was like Christianity, but it was like really emphasized in like the charismatic Pentecostal stuff. We like in the morning time, it was like a big, huge church service, but. You know, after worship was done, then you go to your classes.
Yeah.
And then after your classes, you would have like a seminar. But basically, it was like a lot of guest speakers.
Are the Pentecostal people the ones that do the snake charming? Is that a thing?
That's like the extreme Pentecostal branch of that. All like, right. I've never been to any of those before. I mean, when I was a missionary in Thailand, like, that was, like, the weirdest moment.
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, this Canadian...
So, like, bring out snakes, like, holding them,
Well,
right?
not, like, mm-hmm. snakes. This was actually... it wasn't, like, harmful, but it was just... the guy must have had, like, super expensive glitter or something, because, like, he said, like, miracle signs and wonders, and, like, appeared in, like, gold dust.
You ever seen gold dust in any of your church experiences?
Only doing icons, making icons a gold panning, but no, not.
Yeah. Yours sounds so much more fabulous.
I feel like it's something like that comes like straight from a movie, but I've never seen it in a movie before. Yeah.
So I will say I have identified before with the more charismatic side of things. When I was in Catholic Church, I often was involved with the Spanish-speaking ministries, and they had a huge, guitar group and singing and everything, and there was a youth group that would get together on Fridays, and we would, be going over some part of the Bible, and there was singing involved, and we'd often go out salsa dancing and stuff like that afterwards. So I can understand, and that draws you in, mm-hmm. and you... it's kind of, a way of cultural expression. It's also a way of experiencing spirituality at a different level.
Yes.
So I can see how that would.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like those are good experiences. Like, I would dig, like a social group where I got to dance and party and stuff. And then, of course, you got to play with snakes and gold dust. I mean, that sounds like fun,
Well, minus the snakes. If I saw a snake, I'd run.
So, Bible College in Dallas, so you lived here before,
yes.
And then you graduated with your degree in Bible College, and then you literally went into trying to be, like, a minister, right?
Yeah, I went, like, straight to Thailand, basically, after graduation. I did children's ministry there, and then I helped with my ex-boyfriend/fiancé, whatever, with his little meeting that he would have outside of the church that we were a part of. So we kind of did our own thing without like the pastor really being in control of what we said or did. And then his spiritual mentor was an older woman, and she didn't like me at all, to the point where she like made up this, like, she saw like a like picture of me. Saying that I was holding a dagger and my mom was holding me as a child with like a headdress of some sort or whatever, holding me in front of this fire and
An Aztec sacrifice or something?
Yeah, kind of.
That's what I'm thinking of when you say a headdress. You know?
Yes, and the craziest thing, like, I never told like anyone ever about this, but like my great-grandfather was a Freemason.
Mm-hmm.
And she just straight up said, like, you're part of the Freemasonry, and, like, your family has a lot of bloodshed on your family. Like, just, like, a lot of crazy things. And then her and her friend shoves me into a room and told me that I needed to repent and be delivered. So I faked my repentance.
Wow.
Because, like, they wouldn't let me go, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to repent. Why would I be a missionary and do ministry if I had all these issues. I'm like, if God was really telling you something, he would let you know that I was having sex on the kitchen counter with your spiritual son, but God's not telling you that.
I feel like that's the part that would be more interesting for God to tell her, actually.
Yeah, right, exactly. Be like, hey.
So you ultimately then you left the church, right? But I just like, I think it's so fascinating that you literally had this path that you were, you know, like at the age of 9, I'm gonna be a minister, and you freaking did it. You know, like you went all the whole.
So was that last event you described the reason why you got out, or were there multiple things?
There was multiple things.
Yeah.
I actually became agnostic last year, so I stopped going to church for the longest time, and when I would try to go back, I felt like I was wasting my time. So I was like, why even bother? And then when I was talking to a friend of mine, he's like, maybe you're agnostic. Have you ever thought that you were? I was like, no, like I guess I've just been denying it. And then finally I came to the realization that I am. And when I finally said it, I felt like this heaviness on my heart was like gone.
Interesting.
Yeah. Only a few people in my family know. I tested the waters just a little bit to kind of see what the reactions on people were.
So you know, they're going to watch this.
So important to kind of talk about
I'm
what
I'm kidding, they're
religion.
Probably not.
Right, because I've talked about different things about religion, like maybe like two other episodes of like different podcasts about it over, and none of them have reached out to me saying, like, hey, we're concerned about your soul.
Interesting, now you've become a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
And was that related to leaving the church? Did it happen around the same time?
No, I actually didn't. I actually was still going at church at the time. I was in a job that I hated. Like, it drained my soul. And it was...
Totally me.
Medical billing.
Yeah, okay, that wasn't me.
And my like supervisor at the time was this 40-year-old woman who was obsessed with Mean Girls in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like she would wear pink on Wednesdays.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. And she had
was
her
that
little
a thing
spot.
In the movie. I don't remember.
I don't remember. It's been a while.
It was.
I remember like Lindsay Lohan, right?
She yeah.
Was like, okay, that was yeah before she went kind of nuts.
She was Regina.
So you had a boss you didn't like, a job you didn't like,
yes.
And then comedy was an outlet.
So basically, I got laid off from that job amongst other people. Like, anyone that's been there under a year got laid off. So I didn't know what to do because I never did unemployment before. And so some of my friends were background actors for the TV show Nashville. And they're like, hey. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, right, because this took place in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, I tell everybody about the whole Nashville connection in the beginning, so we all remember that. Okay.
Yes. So, I'm like, okay, this should be some easy money, like, you know, $10 an hour. And then they sent me next to this guy, and for whatever reason, like, our connection, just talking to each other, I felt comfortable telling him, for the very first time ever coming from my lips, that I wanted to try to do stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's cool. I want to do that too. So he's like, hey, I know someone that does stand-up comedy. Let me reach out to her and see where we can like go do an open mic together.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that'd be so awesome. Like, I was like so excited. I was like thinking like this was like a God connection.
Yeah.
So, I was, like,
so you were still believing in God.
I'm still believing. Right. Like, I was the struggle. Like, you know, I was like, okay, maybe this is a God
it's
thing.
It's a sign.
It's a sign, however. So I show up. And he wasn't there yet. So I was like, okay, maybe he's just running late. 5 minutes went by. 10 minutes went by. And then 5 minutes after it started, I was like, hey, where are you?
Oh, the guy that
yeah,
you met.
Yeah, the guy.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the guy that I met, I was like, okay. And then finally he's like, hey, just let you know, police officers blocked my road for whatever. He didn't tell me why or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he just was scared and just copped out at the last minute.
Sure.
Who knows? He never told me. But I was like, I put my name on the piece of paper already.
Yeah.
I don't want to back out. And a friend of mine did show up to see me perform. I'm like, okay, well, at least one friend decided to come perform over. So I'm like, okay, like record it and I'll go on stage. So I went on stage and I told a story that I thought was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Crickets. But also, I didn't know what to say or do. Like, I didn't say, like, hey, this was, like, my first time ever on stage.
Yeah, nobody does well their first time. So,
right.
Like, I mean, if you do well your first time, then you're going to suck for, like, the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Everybody needs that humbling first-time crappy experience, you know? So, but you just powered through it. You enjoyed it. Got the bug.
It was fun. And the funny part was, I got off stage because I was like, okay, I'll just get off the stage and slip my wrist and just... put you guys out of your own misery.
You really want to entertain people, do it on stage.
Right.
There you go. That's like, that is something everybody will talk about the next day.
Yeah. Right. So the host, she came up and says, I know what drugs I'm on, but I don't know what the fuck she's on. And I was like, man, I'm really bummed. And then I sat there and I was like, you know what? I did bomb, but next time I make at least one person
laugh. Who was the host? Do you remember?
Her name was Courtney Warner.
I don't know her. But, and you caught the bug. You've been a comic ever since, right? Like, ever since you've been doing comedy all over.
I did take, like, a brief break because
we all took a break recently.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
It's not worth
it. Well, we all want a break on everything. Right.
So, in your act, do you address the fact that you're a former minister? Do you
I'm
talk
starting
about the church,
to now.
Right? Okay.
So, I've been working on material that talks about me being a missionary. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll joke around and be like, yeah, I used to be a missionary, doing it more than missionary style.
Ah.
In Bangkok, banging cock.
There you go. See, lots of puns. Lots of sex entendres. I like that.
Yes.
I like that you went from being a minister to, like, just being filthy.
I think I was always, like the innerness of my life has always been, like, pervy, filthy, whatever. I just never really expressed it.
And so you let loose on comedy stages.
Yes.
And you've been doing it for now for 5 years or so?
Well, I would say consistently for a year and a half.
Okay. I have always told people, and it's not like it's, you know, I'm like that, I have this really, you know, unusual, you know, perspective, but I've always just pointed out that it's a very similar skill set, like mm-hmm. to deliver a sermon, deliver a comedy set, you know, as a professor. And first time I ever got on a comedy stage, I was like, wow, that's just like being a professor. It's just without people taking notes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, and so it's got to be like the, you know, like the public speaking background,
yes.
The engaging the audience, the you know, you handle snakes really well. You know, a snake is just a microphone, really, when it comes down to it. You know?
Just make sure you dodge the teeth because...
Right. So I imagine the skill set transfers, you know, so all that Bible college education obviously transfers.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? And, you know, you hopefully you developed other skills when you were learning about the Bible and stuff. So that kind of transfers, too. But it's an interesting career shift, and mm-hmm. it's not just a career shift, but it's like an ideological shift, you know, because your career was based on your belief system,
mm-hmm.
and your belief system has changed.
Yeah, I had a teacher, actually, a high school teacher. She was a nun for 13 years, and she ultimately got out because she just decided she couldn't live without sex anymore. And it was
sex is important.
Yeah. But it was interesting. Her first boyfriend ended up being... a narco traffic kind of thing, you know, and so he wanted her to, like,
she went from being a
nun to having a boyfriend who was a narco.
Was like a drug trafficker.
Yeah, he wanted her to, she still had her habit, and he wanted her to smuggle drugs with her habit and everything. So that was pretty shocking, like, you know.
Did she?
No. But, I mean, she had these amazing stories, and she taught us, like, high school literature and humanities, and the cool thing about her history-wise, besides the really off-the-wall stories that she would come up with, is that when it came to literature, of course, in literature, the Bible and other religious elements are constantly being referenced, and she could tell us, like, the inside thing, like, you know, this part, well, it's because they're referring to this, and it feels like there's a little something missing, it's because they actually took this part of the Bible out, and that part of the Bible. So she would give us, like, the insider scoop of the Bible, of the literature, of the, you know, so I feel like I don't know from your experience, but all of that education at some point ends up playing out somewhere. I mean, we never forget our knowledge.
Yeah.
I always feel like education has value regardless of what you do. You can always, it informs who you are and helps build your character and stuff, you know. So you may not be working as a minister anymore, but you know, you're going to be the most knowledgeable, you know, on the Bible anyway, waitress at Stucky's, you know what I mean? Whatever. Is there, you know, people, oh, you can work at, what's a good, like, religious restaurant? Cracker Barrel. You work at Cracker Barrel, they sell a bunch of religious artifacts, you can tell everybody exactly what they are. No, I don't know. I think it's wonderful that you have sort of found yourself in this evolution, I really do. I think it's great that you're doing comedy. Sarah mentioned you're doing also doing some modeling.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is that something we could talk about? You want to talk about a little bit about some?
Yeah, we can talk a little bit of modeling.
So what kind of modeling work have you done so far?
So it's just been like helping photographers build their portfolios. I've done, you know, indoor, outdoor, studio, and then like I started getting into like boudoir photo shoots and such, and I've been enjoying doing like boudoir just because like it's like when you grew up super religious and they told you like, oh, you need to cover yourself and do this and do that. I've, you know, even when I was like a minister overseas, like sometimes it was hard to find, you know, appropriate dress, what would be considered appropriate dress in like America's churches, but I'd be wearing like a short dress. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, if I bend over, everyone's gonna see my ass cheeks, you know? But, like, I would get the greatest compliments on those dresses. Like, you know, like, the women are like, oh my gosh, you look so beautiful. And I was like, well, wait.
Yeah.
What? I don't need to cover myself to protect my brothers in Christ, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I learned modesty is a concept. So there's no right or wrong way. As long as you want to dress the way that you want to dress, that shouldn't be an issue at all.
I've always felt that was kind of hypocritical because, like, if you believe in God and you believe that God created, you know, all of us and everything, that He created you to look the way you do. And, you know, like, why would you want to cover it up, you know?
But I have a friend, Elisa Meyer. She had a very attractive daughter, and she dressed nicely and normally and nicely. And people would say to her all the time, like, How could you let your daughter dress that way? And she's like, I sewed that dress for her. She's beautiful. Why shouldn't she show off how beautiful she is? There's nothing inappropriate about her looking that way, dressing that way. You know?
Well, you know, many religions in the world, they suppress female sexuality by covering them up. You know,
it is.
And really what it comes down to is it's control and sexuality. I don't know why religions are... I don't want to generalize because some don't, but... I don't know why so many religions are anti-sex.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. You know, and then there's some that are even anti-sex within marriage. You know,
like this is the reason why you never got much in
That's exactly. I figured it out. That's the reason I never really bought into the whole religion thing. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you're doing comedy. I'm glad you're... Are you happier?
No. So much happier, for sure.
It seems like it. It really does. Don't worry about bombing at open mics. You know, it happens to the best of us. And the modeling sounds interesting. I want to tell me more about this boudoir stuff. Maybe after the podcast. Now well, I'm a photographer too. We've done a photo shoot. We've already. Sarah talked about.
Yeah, no, I mean it's just very empowering.
It is empowering.
Yeah, we did a cool, a brief little photo shoot together.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Yeah, it was neat. And if you want to see pictures of Ash, check out her Instagram. If you want to see her doing comedy, check out her YouTube. And where can people find you?
So you can find me on like TikTok. You can find me on Instagram. That's where I usually do most of my stuff. I have some stuff on YouTube, but it's more of like kind of keep track of like all the stuff that I have recorded. So I'm not going through my phone. I get more traction on Instagram, which is I Found Newland, which is my last name. That was like a little fun thing that...
Fun on, yeah.
Are you the only, like, well, I guess, are you the only, like, Ash Newland out there?
Or is yes.
So that helps, because I feel like that's a relatively unique name.
Yes.
Take any more questions, Sarah?
No. Yeah. Just thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I think it's a wonderful story. Again, like the whole idea of just like transitioning through life and finding yourself. And you know, we're still going, right? Like all we can do is like, you never know, 5 years from now, maybe you decide to do something else, and maybe you believe something differently. And you know, that's the nice thing about, you know, life, is that we just kind of evolve through it as we develop. And that's I'm glad you're in a happy place right now.
Yes.
And I'm glad you moved to Dallas, even though we don't live here anymore. And thank you so much. Ash Newland, everybody. Ash Newland, check her out. Follow her. She's a very talented individual, and of course, very interesting as well. And as always, thank you, Sarah, aka Red Tango, my partner in crime, my partner in life, my partner in everything. I love you.
You're
the best. And you're a great co-host, too.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate
you.
It. The podcasts that you are on are way better than the podcasts I do by myself. I'm just saying. And folks, this has been another episode of On the Road with Dr. Brian. Thanks for watching or listening, however you are consuming it. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Ooh, joining us. That's what I should do.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Booze, women, and booze. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I'm an asshole. I'm